So, okay. Let's get this show on the road.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, welcome again to Single Mommy Fabulous, the podcast, episode 8. Today, we're going to be talking about digital life and our addiction to it. I know it's a little departure for what we thought we were going to talk about, but after we sat down for the debrief, it kind of became clear that we're all struggling a bit with the addiction to social media and our computers and our phones. So Adrian, I guess we'll start with what we learned from our kids listening to what they had to say during the tween takeover.
Well, two things really, I think for me. The first thing is that I felt like they know a lot more than I was expecting them to know about how to, which is weird because, you know, we're the adults, right? So we've been having these conversations with them. So like we should know that they know, but sometimes, you know, you talk to your kids and stuff doesn't translate. So I was a little bit surprised that they knew what they knew and, you know, how to conduct themselves online and all that kind of stuff. And then the flip side, the other thing was there were some things that maybe they weren't so sure about, you know, as far as like the sharing the passwords and that kind of thing. That surprised me a little bit too. But it's just, it just really reinforced the idea that, you know, you just have to keep having the conversation about internet safety because you really, really just don't know who's on and who's out there and who you're actually talking to, even as adults, like you have no idea. So, yeah, that was for me.
Yeah, I agree with, especially the password thing. I was a little like shocked. I mean, I guess I get it. When we were kids, I don't know what we shared with our friends, but I was like,
maybe our diary keys.
I don't know. I never gave anybody anything. I don't know. Cause I was, I was brutish and whatever else, but, so I don't know what it was, but I guess they did know our most intimate secrets. And I guess in some senses, passwords are sort of intimate secrets, right?
Yeah.
So, I get it, kind of. But yeah, it's like, oh, let's reinforce the idea that you're not really supposed to be giving out your password to anyone except for your parents, because we're just, you know. And, you know, I learned, I think from one of the girls said that aren't our children was that their parents own everything and they, and that they are allowed to look into their lives, but they're going to let, but their parents are going to let them know and da, da, da. And I thought, and she's older than our kids. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
But it made me realize that you have to build that kind of relationship with your kid, which I don't necessarily think I have with my own. I think my daughter's more like, get out of that. But that's why I tell her to stay out of my phone and to stay out of my business. And I understand where that would translate into, well, if you can't look, if I can't look at your stuff, you can't look at mine. And, you know, how to balance that is going to be a challenge, I think. And it's basically because mommy is dating and has a social life that she doesn't need you to be into, you know, to have privy to. But if you text me or Nitra texts me or Megan texted me, I wouldn't care that she's looking at it. But when he texts, it's like, no, you never know what you're going to get. Not that he's like that, but you never know. And you because you can we don't know what other people do with their phones as they get more comfortable with you, you know. So
You know, and like with Kalia, you know, she has some apps on her tablet. They're not necessarily questionable. I mean, they're fairly harmless, but there's this one in particular. It's like a chat group kind of thing, where basically all they're talking about is anime. Most of it is My Hero Academia, but it's other stuff too. And I just remember when she first got on it, you know, and I thought it was just text. But then I remember, you know, hearing like a boy's voice in her room. And I'm like, what is that? And she's like, oh, well, we're all chatting in the, and I'm like, oh, so you're talking to people? I'm like, I didn't say that that was cool. Like, what are you doing? And she was like, well, we're just talking about My Hero Academia. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to sit here and listen for a while. And she was like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, okay, well, if she's like, yes, you know, then it has to be nothing, because otherwise she'd be like, no, you don't need to, get out of here, whatever, right? So I listened to it for a while, and they weren't talking about anything, and they were all, a lot of them were teenagers, but there were some kids in there her age, and I thought, and then sometimes they get on there and watch movies, you know, but I'm like, let me know what the movie is first, and then I look it up and make sure that it's young people anime and not adult anime, and old, you know, anime. But
I don't even,
so far it's, yeah, like, but so far it's been okay. But she hasn't been on it since we watched The Social Dilemma. She hasn't really been on her tablet at all.
She got,
I think it freaked her out.
She's like, that's cool, I'm out. I don't want to break cookie jars, I'm good.
She was more tripped out about like the idea of being watched and tracked. And she was just like, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I think that's the, you know, for me, I laugh at people when they talk about, and I shouldn't laugh, but when they talk about the COVID vaccine is going to have 5G in it and they're going to track us, I'm like, they don't need to do that. You have a telephone, you have a computer, you have smartphones, you have Alexa, you have, they are listening to you 24 hours a day. They know where we were during the, if you had watched 60 Minutes, you would know that they already were tracking your phone. They knew that we were, if we were staying home when they made the orders, or if we were going out, if we were, they knew that we went out to the store, they knew. And I guess in some senses, The Social Dilemma made it real clear that you don't have privacy.
Right. Right. Exactly. And we haven't had it in a very long time.
I think we gave it up around the Patriot Act. I'm just going to say, you know, that was,
I would agree.
And people forget very easily that a lot of us co-signed that act. And if you've never heard of it, listeners, you should actually, or don't know what it said, you should really go back and look at it. It was enacted after 9/11 by President Bush, and it passed in both houses, and most people signed it. But it did take a lot of your freedoms away that you probably aren't aware of. Oh,
but
yeah.
We are aware now.
But I'm so aware of the fact that, you know, and I've never had, the issue of privacy has never been one of those things that bothered me. And I guess that's good and bad. But I just, I grew up in a military family. They know me. I mean, they have my medical records from the time I was 2 years old. It's not like, you know, I don't know what privacy is. So I come from a different place than most people. I think the beginning of it, when they were talking about how they call us users rather than customers, or I don't know, anything else. Users is a word that they associate with drug addicts. So we are essentially thought of as something that they can manipulate, because that's the only thing I can think of. When you think about people who are on drugs, the drugs manipulate their behavior. It manipulates what they do and how they think. And so all of that tying together was a little disconcerting, I have to say.
Yeah, and a little, I mean, it just was, It was, I mean, my reaction to the whole thing was like, I was disturbed, but I wasn't surprised, you know? And like, I don't know what that means, but I was not surprised, but it was disturbing. And it was disturbing to realize kind of like you're being used in that way, you know, when it's like, you know, you go on social media or whatever, and you think you're doing one thing, right? But there's actually a whole host of things going on based on your activity, seemingly without your knowledge or permission.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, wow. And it's all like, you're using my data to make money.
Right. I think that's,
And I'm just here minding my business.
I think that that's probably what's more disturbing than anything, is that now when advertising can target you so clearly, like anything that they know that you're addicted to, right? Like not what your shopping patterns are. So for me, it's like Amazon and makeup. And I see Amazon and makeup so much during my time on social media that I know that they're targeting me, because they're going, ooh, so last time that she ordered from Amazon, she bought a dress. So she's interested in clothes and she's interested in fall clothes. So let's send her ads of fall clothes, right? So I'm sitting there, and despite my best efforts, sometimes I click on it like, even though I know that's not, you know, I need to be like cognizant that they're doing this to me, and I don't, thank God I don't buy, but you know, I do look, I'm like, that looks interesting. Oh, that's not something I want anyway. So, and then I go on about my day,
right?
But they want, like, they totally want.
Right.
Because I clicked it. And Facebook now got 2 cents because I clicked on it, or maybe they didn't. I don't know how it works, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, and it's well, since watching The Social Dilemma, because before I never really tripped off it. I just was like, oh, there's ads, you know, and I kind of, in the back of my mind, I'd kind of be like, well, how would they even know that I want that? You know what I mean? How would they know that I would even be interested in that, right? But since watching The Social Dilemma, it creeps me out now. Like there was a time Kalia and I were looking into buying roller skates, because there's a big, I mean, our living room is really big. And so there's plenty of room to roller skate in here, right? And so we were like, why the hell not, right? So we were looking on the internet on my phone for roller skates, but they're too expensive because apparently everybody's had that idea.
I saw roller skating so anyway, in the park.
Yeah. So then maybe like the next day or 2 days later, I'm on Instagram and I'm scrolling, and guess what ad pops up? Angie skates. And I'm like, that's freaking creepy, man. Yeah. Like, that's creepy. How did you know that I was looking for roller skates? Well, you know how they know.
They were watching.
Like, every single solitary thing is tracked. And it's like, it just made me feel so dirty. And it's creepy. It's like having a stalker. It's like having a stalker.
And what's worse is that it's like having a stalker, but they're not even looking at your name. It's not like they have your name. They do and they don't. You know, they have all this data on you, but you're just data number DDD, and they connect the dots, and you're nothing. You're not real to them, right? So that's a little, that's crazy. I don't know.
It doesn't feel good.
Horrible, I have to be honest. It doesn't feel that great. And I think what stood out more to me, and it's changing my behavior with social media too, was when they were talking about children and depression, and how there are more depressed kids now that they have access to social media. And I guess that's what they're attributing it to. And I thought about it, and I thought about how sometimes when you're not feeling well yourself, you're mentally drained or whatever, and you start scrolling through social media and you see these happy faces, because nobody puts their real face on social media because nobody wants to see that SHIT. No. So nobody wants to see it. So you don't, when you are crying and when you had a bad day and you want to punch something through the wall, it's not when you take a picture. It's not the moment that you capture. What you capture is your good moment. And I was realizing that it was affecting my mental health in a negative way. And if it's affecting my mental health in a negative way, of course, a child who has even less self-awareness at that point in their life, it's going to affect them in a certain kind of way. It's kind of like, you know, why, you know, my daughter has an Instagram because she wanted one. It's controlled by me. I see it all the time. I post the pictures. I do, but I don't want her sitting there scrolling all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not healthy. I mean, I want her to be able to come to me to say, I don't feel that great. Can we go outside? Can we go do something? Because I would much rather hear the cries out loud than have her scrolling through, looking at other people's pictures and feeling like her life is less than. And it's definitely not less than anyone else's. It's just, they've had bad days. It's just not showing on the screen.
Exactly. And I, that was kind of my point of making Kalia watch The Social Dilemma, is because she's been bothering me about being on social media, mainly Instagram. She had been convinced that YouTube was not considered social media in any kind of way. We didn't watch all of it, or she didn't watch all of it. She watched maybe a little less than half of it. But even still, you know, by the end, I was like, okay, so like now I'm like, you know, first I had said that she could, you know, get an Instagram or Facebook or something when she was like 13. But after that, I was like, you can't have it until you turn 18. And so, you know, so we talked about that and I was like, you know, from watching this, do you understand my point of view? Like, do you understand where I'm coming from? And she was like, yeah, she's like, it's just not safe. It's not safe. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm like, there's good parts to it, of course, you know? And I said, so it's not all bad. You know, it's just, you have to really, really be responsible with how you're using social media and this and the third. And I said, and I don't think a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old is capable of that. I said, so in this house, you will not have social media until you are out of high school. Then you can do what you want to do. That's up to you. I said, but while you're here and I'm responsible for you, it's not going to happen, you know? And I'm, you know, limiting mine too, because it's just, it can be a lot. It can be a lot. You know, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of craziness, there's a lot of, I don't know, it can be a lot if you let yourself kind of get sucked into that rabbit hole. That's why I had to leave Facebook alone completely. Like, I can't be on Facebook unless I'm going there for a very specific thing or to look at a very specific post.
Yeah,
I can't be on there. Because it's, and then, you know, you're on there, and then if you allow yourself, you can be on there for hours. Hours and hours and hours. And it's just like, no. I mean, Instagram's no better. But I don't tend to spend as much time on Instagram because I get bored with looking at pictures.
I agree. I think that Facebook, in theory, is a good thing. It allowed me especially to find people that I wouldn't have found any other way because of the fact that I've moved so much in my lifetime.
So it
allowed me to get back in touch with people who were at different times of my life, my best friends. And so, you know, so I still have that. Now I have a community of people that I didn't have before to have this shared experience where, you know, military brats, we have we're weird. That's all I can say is we're weird humans. And it's not a bad thing, but nobody understands some of the things that we struggle with more than somebody who's been through it before. So that was good. However, one of the things that I'm noticing, especially with the election coming so closely, is that I feel like I'm being socially engineered or something to hate people. And I do not enjoy that at all. I don't want to be a part of that. I want Facebook to go back to being about posting pictures of your puppy and your babies and your grandkids. Now that I can't believe half my kids' friends have grandkids, I have to admit. grandkids and stuff. You know, I don't want to talk anymore about this stupid election. But it's not because I am not politically active, because I am, and it's important. I don't want to talk about the election anymore because I'm starting to hate my friends, and I don't like that.
Well, and the social dilemma was talking about that too, about how because the AI, you know, of these sites gets to know you well, it keeps feeding you what you want to see, and it keeps feeding you things that sound like you or sound like, you know, something you would be down for or whatever. And it just creates this weird virtual groupthink. So then it's like, and then they show that with the boy, right? When he got caught up in the whatever that was.
Protest, I'm not sure. It was.
Yeah, whatever. Or the group that he ended up linking up with. It's like, you know, because you've been, you know, kind of fed these things, you know, and then it allows you to double down on your position even harder because there are so many other people out here that think like you, and it makes you think that you're right. And it's like, that's not necessarily true. You know, and someone that has a different opinion than you isn't necessarily wrong, you know, but we get into this mess of the double down. It's like, it's crazy town, you know, and it is crazy town.
I've never seen such a polarizing event in my lifetime. I'm sure that this kind of thing happens, but it's ridiculous. At some point, you're like, I don't hate you. I don't want you to think that because I'm challenging your point of view, that I think you're stupid. I just need to understand your point of view. And that's because that's who I am. I've always been the same person, is that I believe in everything that I believe in strongly. However, I have room to understand you. Even if you are thinking the most ridiculous thing to me, I want to understand why you're thinking the most ridiculous thing to me, because I still want to respect you tomorrow. However, I'm finding that I can't do that right now. I don't like that. It's a very, and I agree with you. I'm like, I'm distancing myself from Facebook, I'm distancing from Instagram. I used to spend hours and hours a day doing these things. And now it's more about promotion of our business and trying to engage with people that have the desire to do what we're doing. And that's what I, you know, and I'm trying to stay in that, but every once in a while they'll throw up an article and somebody will say something stupid. And then I have to be like, in history, this is what happens, because I have this weird habit of remembering what happened not 70 years ago, but in my lifetime. You know, I know about what year the Berlin Wall fell, or I know about what year, not 9/11, but some, you know, important milestones in our country, I remember, or I remember the scandals from every presidential cabinet, and I'm like, so you think you know, but you don't. You don't know. You're sitting here telling me this person gets away with everything, but on the other hand, they didn't, because this many people in their cabinet were convicted of crimes. This many of associates were convicted of crimes. No one really gets away with anything, and you're believing that they do. And it's scary to me, because yes, there is corruption. Yes, bad things happen, but let's just be realistic about it. Nixon had people go to the Watergate. He knew about it and he got caught. It's not as simple. You can't just do stuff. It doesn't work that way. We are being tracked and looked at. And that's the other thing. Nothing is more clear to me than the fact that everything that everyone is doing, including the president and the senators, and there's somebody watching.
Always somebody.
And whether watching. Or not they're doing anything about it, that I can't tell you, but I do not believe, and maybe it's just the optimist in me, but I do not believe that we live in a vacuum, and all the stuff that happened on Scandal can happen every day in the world. You know, I just like, come on, dude.
Yeah, that's beyond, but like those beliefs become solidified when there are multiple co-signers, right? And you get multiple co-signers from Facebook, from Instagram, from probably not Snapchat, but you know, I think those are the main, and YouTube too. You know, it's like you get those co-signers that are like, yeah, we think that too. And it's like, just because you think something doesn't mean it's true, doesn't mean it's factual, doesn't mean it makes sense, you know? And it's like, you have to have opposing thoughts to be able to check yourself and just be like, is this really what I think? Like, am I really gonna hold on to this, you know? Does it make sense? Is it true? You know, like you can't know that if all you're hearing is your own thoughts. Like, it's insane to me that like people don't think that far outside of themselves. It's like, just because you hear what you want to hear on, you know, Fox News or on NPR, you know what I mean? Doesn't necessarily mean, right? It's like, do more research. Listen to what other people are saying. You know, listen to other opinions. Right. Like, different doesn't always mean, sometimes it is wrong.
Yeah.
Some stuff is just wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, it's like you gotta listen and then decide, instead of, you know, hearing the same thing over and over again that agrees with you and then doubling down on your position. Like, it looks bad on everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, I think that's what I'm learning, is to continue to question and continue to not sit in a box. Like, if there's an issue, there are so many differing places to get information that, I don't know. I don't even know what I mean by what I'm saying, really, but I know how I am. I question everything. I want to know a lot more than most people want to know or are willing to do the research to know, because that's my personality. All of this is very hard. We live in a very interesting time. We are faced with a virus that nobody knows what to do with. They're trying really hard, but it's I don't know, maybe natural selection, for God's sake. I don't know, because there's been plagues since the beginning of time. I don't know. I can't explain why this virus is what it is. We are facing political turmoil. We're facing civil turmoil. And the negative thing about social media right now is that it's feeding into all of our anxiety. Yes. And that's my takeaway, is that I have to leave the addiction alone, because it's going to kill me. Because I'm going to lose my mind, because when I'm fighting with somebody about their thoughts, or I'm so pigheaded about mine, or I'm looking at other people being happy because their state's not locked down like mine is. Not that I want to go out there. It's not like I'm like, yeah, let me go out there. But I also right. get to the point like, oh man, I want to go to my friend's house. I miss my friend. I haven't seen them in 6 months. Or I want to go do this, or I want to go do that. And some people in my circle, they do those things, but that's not what I choose to do based on my own health. And so, yeah, I just, I'm glad they made the movie. That's one.
Oh my God,
they made it. I'm glad that our kids are smarter than we gave them credit for. No, I'm just saying, she needs
like, you know,
that her device is, it causes behavioral issues. All right. And oh, yeah. So I have to be cognizant that my child has an addiction to her device, and I have to help her break that addiction in a kind way, not in a, I'm taking this, although I did take it for 2 weeks because she was just out of control and I couldn't figure out what it was, whether, and it definitely was the device, and it may have been the people that she has the ability to talk to. So it had to go for 2 weeks. And my next plan is to write a list of things you cannot say or do to your mother and keep your device.
Right. And there's that. Yeah, I noticed that with Kalia too. When she was just real heavy with it, you know, a couple months ago. Just always wanting to be on it and having like epic meltdowns when I'd be like, okay, you have 5 more minutes. It would be like, you know, throwing. And I'd be like, what the, you know? And then she was always getting it taken because of her behavior. And then when she didn't have it, she was a normal person.
And then, yeah.
You know, it's like, I think the social dilemma should be required viewing in like junior high school.
I think it would make, I think they would make much different decisions on what it is that you'd use this devices for. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with them, with people communicating. I think communicating is great. I think that all the other stuff may be a little bit just too much for all of us to handle, because it's, as we sit here and do a podcast, but that's okay.
That's going to go on social media, but anyway.
dilemma. Anyone?
You see why we're talking about this? Like, we're all deep in it, man.
We're all swimming in it. We're all in the deep end going, what are we doing? Why am I still treading water and going nowhere?
We're in the matrix, man.
Exactly. And so, you know, like I said, the social dilemma is a dilemma. We are in a dilemma. There's no question about that. I'm like trying to figure out what is the takeaway from all that we talked about today.
Yeah, just watch your activity on social media. you know, there's really nothing you can do about the tracking other than just not using it at all, right? Which is an option, but I think that's an option that most people are not going to choose. So if you're not going to choose that, then just, you know, don't click on the ads. You know, try not to click on anything that they're feeding you, you know, only the stuff that you're actually finding and interested in. And don't hate your friends.
Yeah.
Don't become polarized and start hating your friends.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's always been my biggest, even when the last election, when I saw a lot of this, it wasn't as severe. It was always, this person's a Democrat, this person's a Republican. You guys could still be friends. It's okay. And if you actually sat down and talked about your beliefs, you would find out that you have very little that isn't in common. Because many more commonalities than there are actual differing opinions. Take the time to understand that. My biggest thing, I think my biggest takeaway from all that we've said is that take a mental health break from the disease of social media. It is not that it's terrible for you or you shouldn't be on there. I don't believe that. I believe there is positives to be had about it. But when your mental health is suffering, it is time to put down the phone, to close your computer and whatever else. And what I've started to do is play my video games that I have, because that's what I like to do. I'm still on a device. I'm still getting that pleasure-y kind of thing and whatever, but I'm doing something that is so controlled because it's a game that I enjoy. And so, you know, right. I may still be feeling sad or whatever. I may be still feeling lonely, whatever it is that I'm feeling, but I'm also keeping myself from accidentally scrolling by something that'll make me feel worse. And I think that's all I really have to say about it, is just watch your mental health, watch your children's mental health.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not one to, you know, tell people how to raise their kids, and I'm not going to start now, but I really hate when people try to tell me how to raise my kids. Good Lord. But I will say, you know, especially to parents that have younger children, you know, in the kindergarten, first grade, second grade kind of range, you know, really think about how you want to approach social media with them.
Thanks again for joining us for Single Mommy Fabulous, the podcast. And until next time, stay fabulous.